This is JLPT Bootcamp, the ultimate guide to passing the JLPT in less time with less pain. Hello, everyone. This is the JLPT Bootcamp podcast. This is the 65th episode, and I'm your host, Mac. And I can proudly report to you that I've fixed all my computer junk, all that headaches that I've been going through over the last couple months is finished, which probably doesn't mean a whole lot to you, except that I'll be able to send out a lot more cooler stuff over the next couple of months and hopefully be able to get back to you a little bit sooner. Whereas before, I had some computer difficulties and sometimes couldn't really get back to my computer in the nick of time. Other than that, I have picked up a new book. I finished the book about conversation styles and how to keep a nonstop conversation. I think it was interesting. It was good for conversation skills, which is important for communicating in any language, really, but and it was had good vocabulary, but the writing in it was meant to be easily understood, very clear, nothing abstract, very concrete writing. This is step one, step two. You should do it this way. You should do it that way, which is good for vocabulary, but not exactly very good for reading comprehension. It's kind of my final verdict on that book. So I've picked up another book that it's hard to describe what exactly it's about. It's kind of modern day philosophy, maybe something kind of like what Seth Godin is in English. Seth Godin is an intellectual that publishes, you know, his meanderings about the world. This is the same from, I believe his last name is Ito, and, kind of a famous, philosopher, intellectual in Japan, semi-famous. Some people might know him, some people might not. I'll be reading, that over the next, probably couple of months, 'cause it's pretty thick. Reading pretty abstract and kind of slow going compared to what I was reading before. So it might take me a while to get through that book, but I feel like the writing in that book is very much like what you would see on N2 and N1. Very similar. And actually, I got kind of turned on to him by the fact that one of his essays was included in a practice test I took. And so looked him up, found a book at the local book off, started reading it. Very difficult, but I'm going to kind of bullheaded go through it and keep looking up words and keep practicing them and just build up my reading comprehension and reading speed. And I'll try to give you a full report once I get through all that. If you're interested, I'll have a link in the show notes for this episode 65, to the book if you want to pick it up. If you're in Japan, I think it's only like 700 yen or something. It's a cheapy little book that you can pick up and read through. But really good, really kind of the same kind of stuff that you'd see on the test, on the higher level test. So I recommend it. If you're here in Japan, you can pick it up from Amazon.com. Outside of Japan, you might have some trouble finding that. Maybe I'll try to hook something up for you guys outside of Japan. but I want to get on to today's topic. Today, I want to address a little bit Japanese as the real language, how it's kind of evolved outside of JLPT world. JLPT is a good foundation. It's going to give you what the core of the language is. And so in that way, you'll be able to handle most situations after you, I would say you'd be able to handle almost all situations after you pass N1, except for maybe being able to sit through some kind of technical talk of some kind. And so, but there is, you know, more language out there. There's more vocabulary out there that exists. And one of those things that's almost in every language is abbreviations. They're quite common, of course. Here in English, we have PC, which means personal computer. We have ATM to mean automatic teller machine. You know, it's just a natural part of the language. People want to shorten things down. And in Japanese, they also, of course, usually tend to shorten things down too. In Japanese, it works a little bit differently. Instead of doing abbreviations, they usually tend to kind of cut the word in half, so to speak. So instead of personal, I wouldn't even know what it would be, the full thing, but instead of personal computer, as a full katakana word, that becomes pasukan. Of course, maybe you've heard of that. Remote controller isn't the remote control, it becomes remokan. So they kind of cut off the first part of each word, smash it together to make a new word. Sometimes this can be kind of funny, actually. For example, for hardware and software for computers, so software being, I don't know, Microsoft Windows or Microsoft Office or whatever, hardware being your computer, they will, in Japanese, cut off where. So they'll talk about a computer soft that you need or a game soft that they bought for their computer or whatnot. And they'll also have, hard, which is the opposite. And they have a store here in Japan, maybe if you do live in Japan, I'm sure you're familiar with it, called Hard Off. And that basically means hardware that's kind of been recycled, so it's off. The price is a lot cheaper than if you bought it at a new place. Always gets a few laughs for the people that when people first come to Japan. It's kind of a goofy way of naming things, but that's, if you're wondering, that's why it's named Hard Off. But I wanted to talk about a little bit different aspect of abbreviations and shortening that happens in Japanese that's become a little popular recently, especially among high school kids in Japan, where they shorten things down to two letters or three letters. I don't know. If you're in Japan, have you heard about KY? So to give you some background, at least my exposure to KY was, I was eavesdropping on a kind of a group of friends, you know, talking, and I heard them mention KY. And of course, that kind of has a different immediate image that comes to mind if you're from America, and kind of gives you a different idea of makes you wonder what the heck they're talking about. But come to find out, KY actually means kukiyomenai, which means, literally it means can't read the atmosphere or air. What that basically means is that people that can't read the situation. And this was used a lot with the politics with the former prime minister here in Japan, Prime Minister Kan, who was the prime minister during the shortly before the great Tohoku earthquake last year. He's since resigned, but a lot of people didn't really agree with him because he couldn't really read the atmosphere. And so they would call him KY. And there's a few other ones like this. There's there's IM, which means Imi Wakaranai, which is I don't have any idea what you're talking about, or CB, which stands for Cho Bimyo, which is a little best to describe a little off, a little uncertain about something, or actually not a little, very. Cho means very, and bimyo means like you're uncertain about something, you're not quite confident in what it is. Bimyo, like talking about maybe the quality of food or you know, a movie or something, you might say bimyo. And these are really interesting to hear in conversation because it's kind of their own little language, and mostly used by high school students to talk amongst themselves. And so it was kind of unusual to hear the first time they started talking. So you might wonder, where do these kind of strange combinations come from? Well, they're, of course, the letter abbreviations from Japanese words. And what's really interesting too is I guess if the original English is available for the word, then they'll use the first letter of the English word. So for example, there's an abbreviation for aisu tabetai, which means I want to eat ice cream, and that's abbreviated as IT, which, you know, in English we would think of that as information technology, the computers working with computers, kind of industry. But when high school students are talking to each other, they say IT to mean I want to eat some ice cream. Very interesting that they're using Roman letters to do the abbreviation, and that's kind of something that's been cropping up here in Japan as a kind of slangy extra vocabulary. So I just wanted to expose you to that, if you, because a lot of times, sometimes you might overhear a conversation on the train if you're here in Japan amongst some people, and not understand a single thing they're saying, and that's actually kind of normal because depending on what age or what particular group those people are, they're going to be using different words, different vocabulary to kind of so they can talk amongst themselves, which is very interesting linguistically. But of course, if you're trying to study the language, it can be pretty frustrating. But I'd like to hear from you. Have you heard anything on the street, in your communications, on blogs, when you're talking to people, if you're outside of Japan, just doing reading through manga, or something if you are in Japan, something you've overheard on the train, have you heard this kind of language ever used? And what are some of the ones that you have heard that you're not quite familiar with? I'd love to hear about that. Leave me a comment at the bottom of this episode. This is episode 65. And I'd like to hear from you. Or if you have any kind of general comments or suggestions for a different podcast, you can email me, mac@jlptbootcamp.com, or you can go to jlptbootcamp.com and click on the Contact Me button. There's a handy little form there. You know, just fill in the blanks and let me know what you're thinking. That's it for this week. Happy studying. To claim your free 21-page ebook on the 5 biggest mistakes people make on the JLPT, as well as more tips and tricks to help you pass the Japanese language proficiency test, come visit me at jlptbootcamp.com.